When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome to another edition of 100% Canucks. John Shannon here, soon to be joined by Landon Ferraro and Tyson Berry as we discuss the latest with the Canucks, their three-game road trip. As we talked about last week, if they could come home with one win, one loss, and an overtime point, it might be considered a positive. Well, they got the overtime point in Carolina. They got the victory in Tampa. And then got into a track meet with the Florida Panthers and Sunrise and lost 8-5, despite the fact of having a 2-0 lead and then fighting back to tie it at 5 before the Panthers took the game over. Some positives came out of the trip. Quinn Hughes, still one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League, 10 points in his last three games. Elias Pettersson scored. Jake DeBrusque is still on the heater. So despite the fact of the loss, with only 15 shots on goal against the Panthers, there are still some positives to come out of this for the Canucks, who are now 9-10-2 on the season, 2 points back from a wild card spot in the Western Conference. And this is such a strange season when you can think how many teams are in that mushy middle. And the Canucks right now, let's face it, are in that mushy middle. We will talk with Landon and we'll talk with Tyson about what's going on with the hockey club and maybe a couple of other stories on this edition of 100% Canucks.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it. And enjoy.
Welcome back, 100% Canucks, Landon Ferraro, Tyson Berry, John Shannon. Okay, boys, Landon, make heads or tails of 1-1-1 on this road trip.
Well, I mean, you look at the teams that they played, and it's one of those I feel like if you would have said they were 1-1-1 before the trip started, you're really happy. And I think you still should be relatively, but, you know, like there's just parts of games that – it just looks like such an easy way to fix certain issues. And a lot of it's the defensive zone and being really aggressive and kind of getting out out of position. And so you see areas that they can clean up. But, I mean, they've played some really good teams. The travel's tough. And, like, overall, like, you got to be happy. And no, that's not even mentioning that, you know, Garland ends up leaving the lineup two games ago and is out last night. Like, it's a rotating cast of characters. And they're working through the games. So, I mean, like, you got to be happy with their effort.
Tyson?
Yeah, I don't disagree with Landon on that one. That's a tough swing. I know it well. 1-1-1, get half your points and get out of there. That's, you know, get some time down on the beach and take your 3 points, have a couple pints down on the beach and get out of there.
I don't think that would go over well, actually, but that's okay. That's just me. So Tyson, the one observation I have is that you're not going to win many games with 15 shots on goal, though. I mean, where this is a team that, you know, their shooting percentage is really good when you consider. But
yeah, is that what they had last night? 15?
Yeah, 15 shots on goal. And listen, when they come back and it's 5-5, I mean, you're thinking, wow, we're going to see it, you know, a second day in a row that, you know, the team has come from behind. It's an amazing, they really are a bit of a roller coaster right now.
Yeah, and 15 shots, you're not usually going to get 5 tucks, especially on Bobrovsky. So, I mean, it's frustrating to see, you know, I'm sure for them more so than us, but to see them, climb back, tie it up 5-5, and then just, you know, I think what Landon alluded to a little bit earlier, that D zone and just cleaning it up, it seemed like almost every goal that was scored was almost like an empty net goal. Like there was no goalie anywhere to be found. It was, you know, running into his defenseman or Petey trying to block that one and kind of crashing into him. Probably quite frustrating way to lose for them.
Yeah, and I mean, the hard part, too, is, you know, you don't have Demko, and Lankinen had a lot of work in Tampa and a good another good night in Carolina before that. Like, over the last two games, they've been outshot, I think it's about 72-33. Like, it's a lot of work, and then so you have to throw Patera in and give Lankinen some rest, because you can't risk him having something pop up now either. So, you know, Patera gets thrown in there last night, and like if you go through pretty much every goal against, and this is the part that actually makes me a little more optimistic, is there's like a clear identifiable issue on each goal, right? So whether it's the PK or not, like I feel like there's real kind of easy solutions.
You got to stay out of the box against the Panthers. That's too good of a team with too many good players to give them that many looks. And I think you're again, I don't want to agree with you every time, but you can kind of identify
keep doing
where
it
broke down on. Yeah, they kind of you can kind of identify where it led to the goals. That's always nice as a coach. You can come in and kind of drill it in, like 1-1-1, get out of there and get back and you know, try to string some wins together here.
So the positives are Pedersen scored 2. Jake DeBrusque is still on a heater. Quinn Hughes, who was named one of the 3 stars of the week, is, you know, back and in the lineup. What the challenge for this hockey club when Quinn Hughes isn't playing, Landon, who has to pick up the slack in this situation, and is it even realistic to think that they can pick up the slack without Quinn?
Well, I'll start by saying this. When I heard the stat last night, it made me feel real bad about my own abilities as a hockey player. When I hear he has 10 assists in the last 3 games, I had 10 assists the whole season, or 10 points the whole season in Boston. I'm just like, this guy is just too good. Like, but you're right. Like,
I don't want to burst your bubble, but I don't think anyone's comparing you to Quinn Hughes, Landy.
No, but I mean, you give me 60 games, I should be able to get one more point than he does in 3.
You know what? That's coaching. That's not on you. You were right. You know.
When he's in and doing what he does, it opens up so much ice for the rest of the players, right? Like, there's already, you know, with Pettersson, like he's getting the toughest matchups and all of that. As soon as Quinn Hughes gets on the ice, he's the sole focus. And guys are, you have the forward, say they're in the offensive zone, they have that forward that's trying to stay with Quinn, but the player behind him's already watching as well, because if he gets beat, then he's got to help. Like, it just starts to open everything up.
It's a complete nightmare when he's on the ice for the other team. I don't think when he's, you know, I think the question was when you're out of the lineup. I mean, he's probably going to go down as, you know, one of the best defensemen of his generation. It seems like him and Makar are kind of going back and forth on whose year it is to take a run at the Norris. So I don't think there's anybody that can step up and do close to what he does. So to answer that question, no, you're definitely a better team hockey club with Quinn in the lineup. And then, yeah, it's, I mean, great to see. I think the last time we did a pod, we were talking about DeBrusque and how streaky he is, and it was, you know, time for him to get hot. And it's nice to see that he's on a heater. And then, you know, Petey gets two nice ones, and, you know, he's kind of come alive a little bit, which I'm sure is a sigh relief for the Canucks faithful.
And the thing that with Pettersson, like, I mean, that's a great pass from Kane. He puts it in the empty net on the 2-on-1. Yep. That's good. That backhand was absolutely beautiful. Like, I haven't seen him take a shot like that, I mean, in 2 years, really. But the play that showed me that, like, his confidence is starting to really come was in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And on DeBrusque's power play goal, Pettersson gets it at the top of the point, and he makes that aggressive move and gets past, and he's going right down the guts of the ice and takes the shot. Like, he's last man back. That's a breakaway if he messes that up. I don't think he's trying to make that move even 2 weeks ago. So, like, the amount more that he's showing confidence in himself, he's trying to make those hands plays and getting himself not to just be involved in the play, but drive the play. I think that's, like, it's a massive sign and a massive step for him getting back to, you know, closer to that elite player in the league.
When he's dancing and making moves like that and moving his feet, like, you know, when I played against him, he was a nightmare to play against. He was knocking everything down, stick flips. I think that's a good point. Like, if you're not confident, you're maybe double thinking that move. It's getting poked and going down on a breakaway, and then your head's in your hands again. So, nice to see him making moves and playing with a bit more confidence. He's a hell of a player when he does.
Tyson, I'm always amazed that we use that word confidence so many times in and around this game. I mean, every one of these guys on all 32 teams are in the 1% of the 1% of best hockey players in the world. How is everybody not confident? I mean, what happens?
It's confidence is like the weirdest thing in the world. It can come and go like you've never seen. And when you lose it, man, is it hard to get it back? It can take, you know, it can take one shift. It can take 2 weeks. It's a funny thing, I think. But when you have it, man, it's fun. I'm like, I went through stretches where, you know, team's playing well, you have your role on the team, and you're just kind of rolling and playing good hockey. And it's kind of that like flow state, which is nice. But, man, when you snap out of it, you have a bad game, you have another bad game, and you throw a pizza up the middle, and your coach is now on you, and the fans are on you. It could just wear you down. The pressure comes from a lot of different places. Your coaches, you let your teammates down, and then, you know, you get the Twitter warriors and the fan base come after you. I've been in a few interesting situations where you're like, am I ever going to play a good game again? So it's funny, but that's part of it.
But let me ask you this, Tice, like, through your career, how many guys, you know, especially when you got older and you're the vet in the room and you're seeing the call up kid or the new draft pick or the college free agent signing, how many guys have you seen come on the ice and you're like, this kid is really good? And then they get into a game and they don't have that confidence to make plays there. And they end up back in the American League.
Yeah, it's funny. And especially like the skilled guys that, you know, you see come out of college, or, you know, they're in the minors, they light it up and they come up and they just can't quite translate it. Yeah, a lot of that would come down to confidence, I think. But it's a hard league to just step right into and make an impact, you know. I think originally when you're asking me that question, the one that comes to mind is the first time Kale McCarr came and he joined us in playoffs and talked about a guy who didn't have a problem stepping in, man. It was crazy. The first time I got on the ice with him at morning skate, he, like, you know, that drill, D to D snap it, you go down and shoot. He snapped the puck cross ice. His hands were like way up tight. And I was like, oh, and he was already halfway through the neutral zone. I was like, this kid is, that's different. I've never seen that before.
How far into that first drill did you think, oh, I'm going to be on a different team here soon?
Yeah. I mean, I had a pretty good year and we were, I knew he scored and I could, you know, we practiced with him and he was jumping in for reps on the power play. And I was like, oh, I'm in one. And I got traded a few months later.
Yeah. I can't imagine a Nate MacKinnon or a Gabe Landeskog, some of the, you know, our Mikko Rantanen and the guys that you played with. I can't imagine them ever having a confidence issue ever.
Yeah. I would imagine Gabe kind of went through it at the beginning of this year. He just scored his first two goals. That's a little unique because he's coming back from a knee injury and everything. So he's, you know, he's a bit of a unique situation, but and man, everybody goes through it. And it's kind of like, I feel like one of the marks of a really good, player in the league is consistency and how long are you going to let your slumps last and your confidence low. And, Nate's a guy who's, I don't know, he doesn't have a ton of problem with confidence because he's so prepared, you know? I think Mikko's probably a bit of the same. When you prepare like these guys do, like Nate and Connor and, Matthews, you don't really leave anything to chance. So that's a good way to shape the confidence is know that you're doing everything off the ice to prepare and perform.
All right. So this team, the Vancouver Canucks, goes home Thursday night against Dallas. The old wives' tale is watch out and beware of the first home game after a road trip. Landon, is it true?
Yeah. I mean, I still don't understand it, but like it is true. And you know, maybe some of it is you finally kind of exhale when you get home and you can dump your dirty clothes bag out and try and kind of get resettled. And guys that have families are back to kind of that busy schedule. But, you know, like it's hard to get your feet underneath you right away. But for this Canuck team, the way that Florida game went and the amount that they kind of gave, you know, free offense and easier offense, I think that they know that they need to have a good start. Dallas is a team that you can get behind really quick, and it's tough to get goals back on. You know, as I say that, they've had two unbelievable comebacks in Dallas the last couple times they've been down there. They play well against this team. So, you know, I'm hoping that they can pull some of that kind of good feeling and get themselves rolling on this two-game homestand.
Tyson?
Yeah, big start. Yeah, good start. I mean, that's...
I would argue they had a good start in Sunrise, and, you know, I mean, they were up 2-0.
Yeah, but the way the game ended, I imagine that they're probably not thrilled. So that probably bodes well. You know, if they win that game and then you come down and you have a little bit of a lull, that's, you know, probably not shocking. But I wouldn't say that any time a team puts up a touchdown on you, you're probably not thrilled with your performance. So they're going to want to have a bounce back game and, it happens to be at home. So I can't imagine there'll be a big lull.
So I saw you nod when I asked the question about, that first game at home, Tyson. Is there a letdown?
I don't know. I never, it's not something I ever thought about in my career. We usually come back and play well. I don't know. But again, not something I kept track of. So I'm not sure. I never felt that. I was always excited to get home and get back into the routine and get a little bit extra time in bed. And I can't imagine why there would be, but if that's what the statistics are showing, then it might be true.
I mean, like I never thought about it coming back. Like, oh, it's our first game back from a road trip. You know, we need to make sure we're ready, but it is for whatever reason that you go into it, you prepare the same way, you go through your routine, through warm-up and all of that the same. And I don't know if it's just you want to start making plays where you just make the simple play when you're on the road, but it is interesting how, you know, through the length of time here, like those first games back are trouble a lot of times.
And the other aspect is that Jamie Benn's going to make his debut tonight, Tuesday night, for Dallas. That means Jamie Benn is going to be in the lineup probably on Thursday. A BC boy coming home. Tyson, you were a BC boy coming home all the time.
Yeah, good.
Is there a difference for those guys?
Yeah, that's a big lift for the Dallas team. I mean, that's their leader. He's been their leader for 15 years. So, yeah, that's a good morale booster. And Benning usually plays pretty well against the Canucks. Not a great sign for the Canucks, but you know what? He'll probably just be feeling it out a little bit. And he had a weird injury, so hopefully that's all good to go. He's one of my good buddies, but I think getting your captain back and a guy who plays like Jamie does is that's a win anytime.
So, but to both of you, Len and you first, when you looked at the schedule, would you circle the Vancouver games?
I mean, yeah, I'd always look and then I'd try and make sure that I was playing well enough to be in those games. But no, like I was lucky enough. I got to play here a couple times. The first one did not go as planned. Really, the only time my family saw me was the TV timeouts when I was wheeling around trying to get my legs to get some life back in them. Oh, yeah. I got told by Jeff Blashill before the game, because I had a tough game in Dallas the night before, and he's like, the only reason you're in the lineup is because it's your first game at home and I won't take you out, but you're not going to play a ton. And at the time, I was like, oh, no, that's fine. Like, you know, I'll make up for it. And then I sat on the bench and I'm like, I might as well just be sitting with my family at this point.
You might as well just go have a nice dinner with your family.
Yeah. I got to come back a couple weeks later and had 1-1. And it was the best game I played in the NHL and got to do it in front of my family. So it was one of the better memories for sure.
What about you, Tyce?
That's awesome. I always love playing in Vancouver. I had a bit of success against the Canucks too. So I think, I wouldn't know what my numbers are, but I think I had 1-4 one night at Rogers there, and we won in overtime. It was a fun one. So I always loved playing in Vancouver.
How many tickets would you have to buy?
Man, early in my career, it was crazy. And credit to the Canucks. They always actually, you know, helped me out with some tickets and gave me some deals. So but yeah, there was, you know, 20 to 40 people that would come over from the island early. By the time I was like, you know, my last few years, I think people were just over it. So, you know, it'd be five or six, you know, but there was definitely a lot early in my career.
And was it a little different too? I mean, when you were playing in Edmonton, you know, you played the Canucks a few more times than you would have if you were in Denver or in Toronto. So I'm not going to bring up Calgary because you keep telling us you never were in the lineup. So,
I mean, I'm not lying. Check the stats. Edmonton was unique because, we had a good team, and you play on a team with, you know, 97 and 29, that's kind of bringing people anyway. So people want to come and watch those guys play. And you definitely, you know, and I started to get more ticket requests when I got to Edmonton once COVID ended. So, those guys are bringing a crowd on their own. So I definitely had people more keen to come watch. Although the Leafs was big too. Like, you know, get one game a year and every half of your games are home games, you know, on the road. So a lot of Leafs fans travel well.
By the way, 23 games, career games against the Canucks, Tyson. Four goals, 11 assists.
Oh, that's not as good as I thought. I have really good stats against the Stars and the Blackhawks, too.
Oh, now we're changing teams.
If
you're doing a running tally for me, I want to get the good ones in there.
Yeah. So what is that, 15 points in 23 games?
Yeah, it's not bad.
And five of them in one.
Yeah, that's true. So it's, if you take the five banger away, it's not great, but 15 and 23, that's like, you know, kind of right on my career, you know, average, I would say.
What the heck? Why not? I mean, enjoy it. Hey, we had Connor Garland on last week before he got hurt. He was really good, but he mentioned something that for the last two or three days I have never forgotten. And you kind of touched a little bit on it today, and that was Twitter. He is not on social media. Were you on as a player?
I was on early in my career and then deleted it in maybe Toronto when I was getting absolutely assaulted. and then, Yeah, so I haven't had Twitter, or actually, I guess they'd call it, in years. I actually reactivated it like a month ago. Just, you know, I figured I'm doing media now. Nobody's really going to torch me that hard. So,
or, well, no, they'll torch you on the media too. Don't worry.
Do they? Okay,
no,
good.
Yeah, sure.
I just don't care anymore. So.
So that now would the teams advise you to get off, or would you just do it on your own?
There's no teams like, hey, go punch your name in Twitter after the game. That's not going to be fun unless you've had a hat trick or something. But that's real. There's you know, different personalities, and some guys are, you know, read into that stuff, and it can be quite toxic. And you know, you're nobody's going to feel bad for us. You're making millions of dollars playing, you know, performing for your team, and you know, you play like garbage. You're going to hear about it. So, it was funny. I think that the Toronto guys and maybe some Vancouver fans are pretty hard on guys on those platforms. I would say, as a fan, it doesn't help them. So I'm not sure. You just got to get your frustration out somewhere, I guess. You know, tagging them in something just terribly mean is how you're going to do it. But I would just say, if you're an actual fan, it's probably not going to help them play any better. But something tells me that the Twitter warriors don't really care about that. So, but you're silly to go on and read it.
What about you, Lennon?
I mean, I had it. I wasn't getting torched that often. So generally, when you don't have the puck on your tape, you're not going to get yelled at that often. I did have one time when I was playing in Boston. We got absolutely killed at home. Me and my wife go for dinner after. No joke, I think I played 6.5 minutes. Like, I touched the puck 3 times. And I'm sitting at the dinner table, and this guy comes walking by, and he kind of gives me like a little punch in the arm. So I'm thinking it's like a buddy, you know, like messing around. I look up at some random guy. He's just like, you were a couple other words tonight. Like, not very good.
No way.
I just remember looking at him. I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to eat my pasta. And I'm like, I played 6 more minutes than you did tonight. Like, I did not really do much good or bad for the team. I'm like, yeah, go talk to someone dogs, else. Buddy.
I've never had interaction like that where, you know, it's always the people who meet me in person are
you generally
friendly,
really so. Happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this guy had to grind on the fourth liners.
I kind of like that guy.
That's Boston for you.
Yeah.
You win the game. That guy probably paid for my meal, but we lose it in not a good fashion. And he's telling me how bad I was while I'm trying to get through my appetizer.
I had one guy when I was playing in Colorado. He just trolled me constantly, like all over my Instagram, Twitter, anything. Every game he would just tag me and be like, you're brutal. So I'd always respond to him. And he was pretty funny, actually.
Hold on. You replied to him?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I like it. I just say something sarcastic and have a laugh. And but you have the
perfect personality for that, though. Like,
his name was
me,
Jackson. I remember this guy. His name was Jackson or something, and he just carved me after every game. And I'd say something like, "Dude, like, take it easy," and then he just doubled down and ripped me even harder. It was pretty funny.
And so. Like, I'm curious, would you share that with your teammates? And so look what this dude's doing to me.
Oh, yeah. And then they double down too and be like, well, he's not wrong, you know. He just gave it to me too, so.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm good at laughing about things and not taking anything too seriously, but some guys aren't like that. So it wears on different guys differently.
And so in a town like Vancouver, that's hard. It's a hard town to play in, I think, for a lot of guys. How does this record, one game under 500, wear on this team right now, do you think, Tyson?
Ooh, yeah, you don't want to slip under 500 for too long, right? You know, there's something in the psyche that when you see you're at 500 and you know you're in the hunt, you can still make a run and get on a stretch and make a push, but you don't want to see yourself dip. You know, you start dipping 2, 3, 4 games below 500, and then it starts to slip away from you. So I think just mentally, you know, you probably put a little more weight on this game coming up because it puts you back at 500, and then you try to climb from there. So, I don't know how much more you could say on it, but you definitely don't want to get behind the eight ball too hard.
So, hey, Landon, the last word to you. What were your thoughts on David Kampf, and what can he do for this hockey club?
Well, I mean, he can win some faceoffs. Like, he's going to need a minute to, one, figure out what's going on in Vancouver and how they want to play, especially for a guy that is more of a defensive specialist and taking those faceoffs, can handle the harder matchups and skate with them and play that way. Like, he's going to need a minute to get settled into the system. But, you know, right away, like, he's taking those draws and doing well. And, you know, obviously, just like the majority of the team last night was, you know, eating dashes all over the place. Like, that was a tough one for his first to get thrown into. But, no, like, at the end of the day, it gives Adam Foote one more player down the middle that he knows exactly what he's going to get out of him. And for a team that's had so many injuries, so many guys in and out of the lineup, having one more stable piece down the middle that you can put out, you know, especially on the PK, but, you know, for defensive zone draws and start freeing up Pettersson a little bit and saving his energy for the other end of the ice. Like, I'd imagine that Adam Foote was quite happy looking down last game and being able to call number 64 instead of having to, you know, kind of find that next guy and hope it goes okay.
He made a nice play too on one of the goals, wasn't it? Dronik maybe back there? Is that him or am I making things up at this point? It's possible.
I'm trying to think now. It was the backdoor
slip.
Feed.
I think it was Kane.
No, it was Sasson. 63.
Because it was power play.
That's Kampf wasn't jumping right into the power play.
Okay,
that's
gotcha,
for sure.
Gotcha. Well, I will say Sherwood was dishing last night. Couple nice apples.
Oh, there you go. Here we go. The fan club starting. Here we go.
There's my guy. He's nice. He's got a lot of tucks. It's nice to see him get a few apples on the board too. You know.
That was a beautiful pass last night.
We don't like want to win in the Cy Young, that's for sure. So
no.
But every time
I mean,
that
we'll
you
take
bring
the Cy Young, it's better than going bagels everywhere.
Remember the 1 year, this would have been 6-7 years ago now, but Brandon Peary played in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
He started off, I want to say he had like 14 or 15 goals, zero assists. And I remember my dad did a game down there and he came back and he was, because I knew Peary a bit from the minors, and he was dying laughing as he was trying to tell me this story. And he's like, he scored again. And he's like, as he's going through the handshake line, he's like, he was literally yelling, "I'm sorry, I'm trying to pass," because it was a pass that got deflected in.
Yeah. Worst problems to have though.
Yep, definitely.
All right, boys. Thanks for this. We will we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Have a great day. And travel safe, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to 4 games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
Thanks to Landon and Tyson for joining me. Dallas on Thursday night, Calgary on Sunday night at home before they go on a road trip to California and into Denver, a 4-gamer. You know, there was a time in the last few years, and you can all remember, that playing in California might have been easy. San Jose was easy. L.A., not so easy sometimes. And certainly Anaheim was an easy game to be played. Not anymore. We're reverting back to 10 years ago where a trip through California might have been difficult. The Sharks and the Ducks are two of the best stories in the game right now. And Los Angeles, who had one of the best home records last year, have kind of struggled at home, but have one of the best road records and are right now number 2 in the Pacific Division. So it's the Dallas Stars and Jamie Benn coming to Rogers Arena Thursday before the Flames on Sunday. We'll have to see what happens with the Canucks, whether certain goaltender by the name of Thatcher Demko is back sooner than everybody anticipates. Kevin Lankinen has done his job. There's no doubt about that. And we'll have to wait and see if the Canucks can get back to NHL 500. Again, thanks to Landon and Tyson. John Shannon here. Thanks for listening or watching to this edition of 100% Canucks.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.